Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome everybody to the On Show with Katie Barnett Friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here. Of course, you know, with everything that's been going on this day and time, we have to be thankful for being able to wake up safe and sound and being able to face another day. Got to give a couple of honorable mentions here. I want to thank Miss Mahogany Reynolds for gracing us with her presence last week, and sharing her struggles in the world of entertainment as a woman of today's date and time, and also for the projects that she's putting out there to help enrich the community on all levels, especially with you. Speaking of, because this week we are going to be touching on the delicate part of our popular when they're staying there in Richmond Hill High School, Rockaway Park High School, to the staff members who have been working so closely with me on this particular subject in Rockaway Collegiate High School in Far Rockaway, New York. I want to thank the staff there because they have been making it a priority for them to sit there and actually be open and cooperative and patient. Thank you to them. And if they're listening in tonight, I really want them to know how much that we appreciate the aspect of this. There are a couple of other people I would like to say thank you to. Liza Mann, she was part of our discussion in this last week and very, very active, and she shared a story of hers of what she's going through, which one of the topics we're discussing tonight, or one of the subjects under this tonight, is due to things that happened with her as well. So she's very active in taking a part of trying to be a way to contribute to this. I'm sorry, guys, we're off this evening. To my partner, Miss Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves, to Darlene Owens, Miss Lady Lace, you two on the back burner, constantly helping me on this missions and these projects. I appreciate everything that you've done with your ride or die mentality. Paula McClendon, you out there, your contribution to today's pre-broadcast discussion question was definitely priceless, being a consistent supporter as well. Okay, guys, so today we're going to be starting a rest of the week series with focusing in on the issue that's going on with our kids today. And the particular issue that's getting to me, and I'm sure all of you have seen it, is the terrifying rise and surge in teen suicides. Not just teen, we're saying teen, but it's disturbing that children, even younger than 13, are turning to suicide for many reasons, but mainly due to bullying. And today we're going to be discussing, as well as throughout the week, is it where lapse in voice in adult counterparts that are letting these kids slip right through the tracks? Listen, it starts with the parents, yes, but there's a village out there that has to be a part of this, because our children, it takes a village to raise one child. But in all other aspects of this, everybody is responsible for maintaining a balance in the children. And most of these has a way to trace back to an adult that failed to live up to their part. And we have to discuss those connections as well as with this? What can we all do to step up and do our part? Now, with that being said, you know how this goes. This evening, we got to do a little pre-discussion song, a word from our sponsors. And tonight's subject is Kid Check 1212, Fighting Against Senseless Deaths in Children. And today, I want to go out with Marvin Gaye with what's going on, because that would be any more appropriate at this point. So hang out with us. Be back in exactly 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Oh,
right now.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now back with more on the edge.
Go with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm Barnett. Thank you guys out there who's keeping me on my toes. We are going to get right into talking about this first part of a very, very important piece. Not that all of our topics aren't important, but when it comes to our children, it is above all others and all else. Kids, we've spoken about this. Generation is just in a helter right about now. Children are being told by one side, but they must not listen to their parents, but listen to their parents, but being having their authorities taken away, and our children are just one big mess, and parents are stuck before it. We stand alone. And this generation, and one of the major things that is hitting me big time, and I'm sure all of us, especially the parents, are child reports of adults having issues. And I think what's even more disturbing is that suicide is one of the largest culprits of in this day and age. Okay, now we're going to talk about the reason behind before are a cause of suicide. Children don't think about killing themselves as a normal resolution to things. Children are not born knowing what it means to off themselves. And that's not the first thing that they think about. Speak on why that they would feel that that's a decision to make. Where are the adult safety nets in these children's lives? One child is taking their life every 5 days, according to CNN report. I'm paused because That's a very disturbing number. And this year, we've had 3 children under the age of 12 that have taken their lives. Maddie Whitsett, Alabama, 9 years old, took her life. Philip Rule Jr., 11 years old, took his life. Jamel Miles, 11 years old, took his life. Common denominator, bullied. Maddie was called dumb and stupid and worthless every day when she went to school. Phillip Sproul Jr. was teased about his weight every day when he went to school. Jamel Miles came out to his mom as a homosexual, bullied. The mindset of the adults in life has contributed. We can't say. We can predict what someone's going to do, but we can choose the way we react and deal with the situation. If we choose to do nothing, it's given that person or those people permission to do it by implication. So either way, whether you do nothing or you do nothing about it, or you let it happen, it's the same thing. Let's talk a little bit about the schools. Let's see where it starts first. Everybody to feel this way, or why do they feel so sad, so depressed? Why? Where were the parents? That's always the first question people ask. Well, let's do this. Let's assume at this point that these children did not come from any of the exception to the rule parents that we've spoken about in this last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the parents that are the ideal parents, the ones that love their child, the ones that will do anything for their child. If the children are not able to talk, for whatever reason, they're dealing with it on their own, parents can't know. But a parent will know that there's something off about their child. So it's not always the parent. That's the reason why. But parents, we have to ask every day, how was school? How was your day? How are you feeling? We do need to be super aware almost all the time. You know, we already have that GPS, you know, vision on our children. But you know something? We do know we can't be there with them every step of the way. So, however, we have to ask questions all the time, right? Then we have to ask the school what's going on. Because they're out of our hair or our vision for 8 hours a day, and sometimes more, depending if there's after-school activities or extracurriculars. So, yeah, our relationship with the school has to be harmonious or is kind of, because these people see your children more than you do or just about as much as you do, on a minimum. So if you don't have you're not going to know what's going on in school, and your children are being subjected to certain things. What what is the school doing? What is going on somewhere between the time they leave your go comfortable and get back? What happened in that time frame that got your child feeling that? First, they're just a little hurt, embarrassed, or whatever the case is, a little angry, and they'll fight back a little bit if they tried, but it got worse and worse. Where did it go wrong where the child's mentality now has gone from I'm angry, I'm going to do but take my own life? For us parents, we have to ask all the time. Even if they're telling us everything's okay, we're going to have to ask all the time. We are going to have to get down there and get the school to tell us what's going on or to find out if anything different happened with the child. I'm not even talking about something major place with the child's behavior. I'm saying on a daily basis. And if you should find out that your child had even a small disagreement with someone in school and the teacher felt the need to say some child or say something to the other child your child was involved with, that's something they didn't report it to you, you need to make sure you're on their behind about it. So in the case of Maddie Whitsett, the 9-year-old that took life because she was being called dumb, what happened in the school? How did the school take care of it? Let's take a look. And how this problem was addressed or introduced to people that should name of the facility. In addition, Maddie had one other thing that may have contributed to the suicidal situation coming along, and that was she was on ADHD meds, something that just began, that had set of suicidal thoughts listed as one to be prescribed for children, because there's too many people making these collective decisions in a mental health issue and calming it and balancing it out, causing a fatal mental health side effect is not balancing a thing out at all. Now, according to this school in Alabama, Maddie's parents went to the principal and spoke to the principal about the fact that her daughter had complained of being bullied, called dumb and stupid all the time, and that it was being done in a massive manner. According to the principal, and Maddie's parents were told that the situation had been taken care of. If it had been taken care of, why did the child still feel she had no way out? Now they want to say that this tragedy is to bring awareness to parents to make sure they check on their children and to make schools, teachers, and students alike aware of the effects of bullying. Nobody should have to be told in this day and age what the effects of bullying are, especially with the rampant viral situation of cyberbullying. There have been more than enough documentaries, Lifetime movies, after-school specials, and everything you could think of, if you didn't already see it with your common sense vision, of what the effects of bullying will do to a kid. Let's talk about one child that actually was bullying and unfortunately was subjected to a horrible injury unfortunately, through a sleepover, who she believed meant that this girl actually liked her after all, and that the teasing was, I guess, I don't know, maybe a you know, just a joke or something that they do, and she didn't really mean it. So she suckers this poor girl to coming into a sleepover with most of the popular girls in her school. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's woken up to being scalded with hot boiling water on her face. Meanwhile, the host of this, the hostess of this sleepover, which is our bully, has been planning to do this for her for 3 days on end, because after she had teased her and called her fat and disgusting and everything else, she invites her over, but she told everybody on every social media platform she had that she was going to get this girl back. And her mother, the assailant's mother, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, that 13-year-old mother, while putting ice-cold water on this child's scalding hot burns, and she's going overboard and to remember that her daughter is just a child. That's not a more childish move or prank to play on someone. Frogs down other people's shirts. Children throw rocks at people's windows. Normal kids try to scare a kid. They'll hide, push him in a bush and walk somewhere where, you know, a dog did his business and something to that effect. They don't take it upon themselves to choose a method of putting physical fatal harm onto someone. And a parent who doesn't see that for the psychopathic and sociopathic district that this is to blame for why this can continue to happen. The system that didn't allow this child to her actions as a consequence is also to blame. Schools, there's that one or two kids that everybody is afraid to deal with. Perhaps the parents are just as loud and scary as the children that they deem to be aggressive, the bullies that they let in rampage. About your fears, you took the job of an official in that school. It's your job, your obligation, no, hands down, non-negotiable, accountable position for you to do what you have to do and keep the rest of the children safe in that school. It is your job to tell your higher-ups that you need to make a move because this child is an issue to the rest of the student body in this school, this facility. That child, by all necessary, should be kept away from the population if their behavior continues to be a threat. If child was known to have been involved with a fatal assault, fatal by injury or fatal by death, that person shouldn't be anywhere near the rest of the school. Absolutely be no worries whatsoever. That is going to happen again, not on school grounds anyway. This is where the adults fail these children. This is where the adults' voids and lapses in judgment and in action and accountability fails our children and leads to these staff not communicating with the parent that this took place. School staff fearing our children thinking about it or exposing it and telling them to be quiet or to not say anything, parents, or don't, more worried about their, more concerned with their administrative protection than they are of the school's protection. More afraid they don't want to be seen as inadequate or inefficient by their superiors to lose funding, to be put in a bad report rap. Then they are actually solving the problem. Giving in to their fears of the bullies rather than getting the results done and getting the bullies out of the situation or dealing with the bullies or finding out what is the problem that the bullies are bullies, exactly. Because they screwed up so many of the people in the system, in the law enforcement system, has stepped over their line so badly that there's such a big controversy in the media now that now everybody wants to pick and choose the wrong times to watch what they do or to proceed with caution. So now real victims are in trouble. And there's so many people trying to blame the stink about it as the reason why the cops can't do their job. No, it was the cops that stepped over their line and abused their authority that caused the victims to have an uproar, that in this mode where, oh, if I do this, they might look at me this way. No, this is not the time. Common sense will tell you that he clearly committed a crime. If a child picked up a rock and hit another kid in the back of his head, there's a split cut open that kid. And an adult is not supposed to look the other way, especially when they are paid to be an official that takes care of the safety. Join this panel to offer your suggestions, your share your story. The number is 347-327-9967. And it is on a whole, be it parents or non-parents, be it officials in the school, be it police officers, be it neighbors and community. Community business owners that are affected by these things. The child that was killed in a bodega store up in the Bronx, New York, because the owner was too afraid to get involved or whatever the case is over mistaken identity. All of these things are happening because in the respect where we should be. Because we are turning our backs and rather blame the children for turning out to be didn't do what we were supposed to do. And these children committing suicide are trying to deal with adult problems. Exposure to adult problems. Using the capacity of a child mentality arsenal. The only arsenal they have is limited magnitude. So they're trying to solve some very big problems with very small weapons, and they're doing it alone. The weapon is you. The weapon is you. All you, all of us adults that's supposed to be passing the torch over to generation in a milestone appropriate to being in teen domestically violent relationship at 14? Why is Jamel at 11 worrying about whether or not he likes boys or girls when he hasn't even lived a life yet to even be called a preteen? Why was that boy worried about having to say that he's gay? Why was Philip have to worry that, you know, someone enough so he doesn't belong on earth? Concerned with hooking up with someone at age 14 and being exposed to violence and jealousies because the other half thinks that that's what makes them a man or a woman, to be jealous. That's what they show as care. Why? Hearing these children, let them be children and worry about a hookup or a relationship later. 11 years old was a little bit awkward, but it's not awkward enough. Puberty hits in sexuality, not sexuality on the, and so forcibly. It's like, you know, when your kids walk in and they see adults kissing and they're only six, so they giggle about it. But they've seen it. But usually a child's way of mimicking that gesture is that they think they're doing something way big, but it's innocent in the child's mind. That's not what's happening now. A child's innocence is being quickly blurred because adults who supposed to defend this innocence no longer are doing their jobs. No one is fighting for them. And parents are left with no choice but to parent with all their might and their knuckles, and they still don't have the help that they're supposed to have. It's right back to the nonsense. And the funny thing is, there are most states now have opened up to allow for these children to have online schooling, maintain that balance of childhood innocence and safety. And still obtain their rightful rites of passage as they go through. Like, the problem that's happening now is capitalism is still holding on in dominance in certain states, like New York, for example, where online tuitions are imposed on parents where everybody else online has no tuition. It's just considered public school online. So children are forced by this administration to go into a school that clearly does not nurture their safety whatsoever, that butts into parenting, that exposes our children to things beyond their capacity of understanding because they haven't had the experience yet to even know what the hell it all really means. They're allowing our children to be medicated to treat mental health issues that this society has created in the first place, that's causing them to chemically feel like this is the only way they can go. We need to fight against the senseless death. There is not, that's children under 13. On themselves 5 days, let's go to the statistics on our teenagers and see where that's going. Because nowadays, suicide seems to be the sad fashion method of solutions. You're telling my children, hey, go out there and have sex. Don't tell your mom, we got your back. Nope, not really. The abortion that you got messed you up. Go ask your mom why she didn't stop you from going to get one. Hey. Hey, I told you you could go. We gave you the stuff. Mind your business. Let's leave me alone. Teen suicide rates spiked after the debut of the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why. Going back to the CC, not our children as once did in our generation. So now teens are seeing these explicit shows, these violent shows, these shows of what misconceived notions of what love is supposed to be. And now children are mimicking some fad, crazy series that's out there, not realizing it's all Hollywood. The month immediately following the release of the show had a 0.57 per 100,000 had a suicide rate. Let me repeat that. Had a suicide rate of 0.57 per 100,000 10 to 17-year-olds, the highest rate of a five-year study from 2013 through 2018. 9 months after the release, they saw an extra 195 deaths by suicide in this age group, and primarily driven by boys, whose rate of suicide went up 28.9%. Now, this is to a show that's a fictional presentation of life. That's to a show. Let's think about this. We spoke about what society does to boys and tells them how they're supposed to handle life and how they're not allowed and afforded the same liberties as a female. How a female can get raped and she's allowed to cry, be called the victim, be traumatized. They're supposed to be appreciative that this woman forced herself, her body, their choice away from them because they've got a nice body, so you should feel lucky. So they're forced to deal with their pain and their trauma and their embarrassment and their shame in silence. They're not supposed to tell anyone that them than something they enjoyed. Even if their body naturally responds to stimulation and it may have felt okay to the body, but mentally it didn't feel great to them, they're not allowed to do that. What do you think all that pain, rage, shame, and anger is going to lead them to do? And they may have the best parents in the world, but if the society is telling them that it's a shameful thing and they know their parents are going to want to go out there and make something happen, when justice for them, they would rather kill themselves than to deal with the pain that's going to come. They feel ashamed of being exposed. Hey, about you making a brave move like this or the problem, not you. And this will pass. And everybody is not going to like you. Everybody's not going to be good, but you stand strong in what you're doing because what happened to you was absolutely wrong, and the person who did it to you is the reason why. Justice in jail is supposed to happen, not to you, but to them. And teach them how to heal past it. Our children are not getting to the point of feeling that there's a place to heal, that there's an option of healing, that there is recovery You have pastors that are supposed to be allow for those kids to get stronger and to diminish out the people that are causing these bullying situations. And what they decided to create a storyline on is a teenage girl who leaves behind 13 audio recordings on a set tape. And she addresses the recording, each recording to a person she has played a role in her decision to end her life. So now there's this little fad viewing going on where these children are now hooked on to the show. And they're thinking more of committing suicide. Gee, I wonder whose fault that is. Which part of us needs to say somebody has to stop this nonsense? How many of us need to start holding everyone authority over our children? It doesn't matter what type of barricade they put up in front of when you go to make a complaint. How many politically correct laws and service textbook guides to dealing with an angry parent, they've read. You have the final say in what happens with your child. You have the administrative decisions on what happens with the school's budget, what happens with the school's protocol. And if enough of us stand up, not just for our kids when they get bullied, the kids that are getting bullied every day, and stay angry and stay loud and stay consistent wherever you are. If you can't walk, do it from your computer. Do it on your telephone. Write your letters. Be a witness if you have to for a kid who tried to go to an official and was told to get out of the office, or you'll take care of it and it never happens. There was a situation with a person that had their child be attacked, and when supposedly an official investigation was going on, apparently a collective decision on that investigation to finalize it, seal it, and come up with a decision was attained, but the parent of the victim never knew about it. And when that principal who was involved with the so-called investigation was cornered and told about it, he denied anything ever having been done to the child that was the bully to everyone else and caused the issue. Meanwhile, telling the parent that looking into trying to get somewhere that after that child was assaulted by this bully and was told that they were going to actively do their part and they were going to make sure that they took care of it and that they were actively seeking a systematic superintendent suspension for the child, meaning he was allowed to be removed from the school and sent to another school as a suspension consequence, only to find out that they never went that far at all, that they closed the case quietly, didn't say anything, and this child still has access to the general population in the schools. Still able, wherever he feels like it, and harass any kid he's messing with for the day. Because that child's mom is loud, because that child's mom curses, because that child's mom seems aggressive in her behavior. So no one wants to shake the rattlesnake's nest. Meanwhile, the rattlesnake is coming out and biting everybody else. I have to go to break. I'm going to give you the number once again here. to call 347-327-9967. If you need to speak or add your comment to discussion, please press 1 and you will be brought in. So just give a second so I can get our sponsors in, and we will be back right after our commercial break.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge. You're listening to On
the Edge. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett. Damn, this thing is horrible. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett. Friends, my host, KD Barnett. Guys, hang out with us as we have a little lag in our... We are in the middle of discussing the first part of our Kid Check series, is what I'm going to call it. Today's Kid Check 1212, fighting against senseless deaths in our children. For those of you just joining us on the stream, we are speaking about the rash of suicides, the rash of child deaths by violence as well, by suicide because of bullying, and by bullying. So now I want to sort of speak about that aspect. It's not just suicides. It's bullying as well. There have been far too many incidents of bullying where the actions have gone so far the actions have gone so far that children have been fatally injured or dead. And that is another issue that needs to be addressed and handled by adults in their lives, period. Now, let's speak about those parents that are the exception to the rule. We know there's plenty of them. Those of you in their life that are not the parent of the parental capacity are surrogate parents in the capacity in which you are connected to this child, okay? And what that is in the school, you need not to be hiding behind politically correct ways out and actually handle your damn business. You need to handle your administrative business as an administrator in the school. Not from the aggressive, they make you uncomfortable. If they make you uncomfortable, call police and deal with what needs to be taken care of in that school and keep order. Even if the police are just there to maintain order while you get this meeting underway and get the problem addressed to this parent. Even if it's just to keep order. What is going on with the kid? Why is your kid hating on everyone that's around there? What's causing your child to be aggressive to other child? If your child can't be handled here, you need to figure a way to get him or her help affecting the well-being of the rest of the population. They are causing disorder in a place where order needs to be. Help. Like to have their education given without interruption. Other children would like to be able to sit in their seat and not have to worry that someone is going to beat them up when their back is turned. And why should parents that are out there trying to teach their children to respect other people have to say, I'm a parent, that my obligation is to make with my contribution to the world. Everybody has children have a way to do what they're doing if adults weren't allowed out there. If they're a godparent or an authority figure in a child's life that was there to monitor the behavior when it first began and address it on the spot and kill it while it's seeding or kill it when it's planted, that child couldn't go to step two. And if the people who know that this child comes from a bad home that could do something better, at least not around me, at least that child will probably suck his teeth and roll his eyes and say all the things in the world that he wants to say. But guess what? I can guarantee you if it's said enough, that child will do it while he's walking in another direction. And maybe that child is just a bad seed and won't work, but how would you know if you don't try? One person passes off to the next one, that child is one step closer to killing a kid. If you are a parent or an adult in a child and you start seeing things that go a little bit above and beyond the normal mean tricks that a kid will play in the child, you need to start understanding that that's a red flag. If a kid wants to take a squirrel and skin it for fun, we have issues. If a kid wants to burn a cat for fun, that's a problem. If a kid finds joy in pelting somebody with rocks until there's blood that produces from that person's skin, that's a problem. If a kid does not know how to calm down after an argument happened and it was resolved, if they're still sitting there with an angry seed waiting to get back at that person, there's a problem. And children are not very good all the time at pretending they're okay with something when they really aren't. So a well-trained adult would be able to look at that kid's behavior and know that it's not really as over as they said it was. We as a community of people need to make sure that these children have after-school officers that are actually patrolling the neighborhoods where there are side streets and alleys and places that kids can commit a bad act against someone else out of the eyes of where the authorities will be. We are the people that are these children. Us. Parents, you have to be vigilant on watching what your kids are doing, as well as the people around them are doing. Sometimes your child may not say anything to you, but if you're looking at how a child acts around a certain child that's in their vicinity, that's a question that you need to ask, and that child should be watched as well. If your daughter or make the connection that individual is somebody that your child has an issue with, and that child needs to be watched, so that if your child won't tell you, that other child's actions will, and will give you an idea of what you need to address. If your child is acting depressed, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that depression in a child is not always visible right away. There are plenty of very smart children that know how to laugh it off for years on end sometimes. Very hard lesson that I myself had to walk and figure out. So there's never a time where you can't ask a question, or you should be asking your kid, how was your day, even if they say everything went well. And your child should always feel at every single minute that no matter how bad things get, no matter how much they feel that your reaction might be over the top, that you're allowed to go over the top because you're going to have their back just as deeply. That no matter how bad what they have to tell you may seem to you, that if a parent has a reaction, there are parents that could be calm about it all the way through. To those of you that tell me you can stay calm and rational when your child walks up to you telling you that they're going to try birth control pills and they didn't discuss it with you first, and you could stay calm through that, I bow and kiss you in reverence. Good for you. At 9 times out of rational, in that instance, parents will be a little nuts. However, the message should then be relayed that after a parent has their rightful reaction, allow them to calm down, because at the end of the day, you're still their baby and there's still a situation in place, and it's still something you're going to need help and guidance and protection and nurturing to get through, to deal with, to address. And that person is them, us, the parents. And the reason for action is because that this is not what we planned and anticipated for you or wished for you. And we know from experience what that choice is going to do now to your options. That you may still have options, but to get there is not going to be as smooth any longer. We are down in our last half of the show, so time to start talking solutions. And I'm going to start by saying exactly what I've been saying. Number one, we need to refocus our children's, we need to redirect our children's focus on what is a priority and focus at their ages. We need to let them understand that as much as society is pushing sex and needing to hook up and be the case is, that that's really, really not something that they're ready for. And that should not be their focus, and that should not be something that they use as a validation of themselves. Then, if they're in it, we're going to start having to explain to them that since you're in it, try to understand that it takes experience and it takes love and work to make a relationship work. And that's even hard for people who are experienced and are old enough and have walked that milestone and have earned their right to be in that place, to have a relationship with some sense. So imagine how much harder it's going to be on them. But since they're in it, you have to understand that it may seem like it's the world's most permanent move for you right now, but you're going to go through many breakups and many heartbreaks as you explore life and as you walk through life. And are you ready for that? Maybe we need to start explaining that to them. It doesn't matter what kind of partner you have, minus animal, of course. Whatever your sexual orientation is, you are in a relationship. It's still someone else in your life that you have to be compromised with. And you are not ready to do all of that at 11 and 10 and 9 and 12. You're barely ready to do it when you are of age. But at least we understand and are comprehensive more of the risk, the responsibility, the emotional ups and downs, the emotional baggage that comes when you give your body in sex. We as adults would be a lot more comprehensive of making a choice to have a one-night stand and walk away from it, or be involved with somebody that we feel our body in intimacy with our bodies, this person is worthy of, which is a decision you couldn't possibly make under the age of 13. So why there are so many 16, it doesn't even make sense. It's like a bad side movie, but it's a very real reality here in this day and age. And that is something that we as parents and adult village people need to help redefine our children's sense of priority and being worthy or being successful means. Because when the very adult things go wrong in a relationship that never should have happened in the first place, seeps into their mentalities, we now have yet more damage to a child that's not ready for that type of capacity of problems. And if there is no one out there trying to be the adult in their life, because the government has already said, come have a condom, pick a color, any color. Would you like to have one that lights up in the dark? Guess what? We'll even deal with stuff that are dental for you. How about that? Come get your late pass, and while you're at it, look to the left. There's a whole candy cookie jar full of different types of condoms. Come down to the clinic, and we'll implant you with a certain type of contraceptive where you don't have to worry ever about getting pregnant for 3 years, forgetting the fact that you're putting something in their body that's a foreign body. So with that in itself comes a problem or a side effect. Forgetting the fact that how does it really work? Because God wants you to conceive. Something is causing you to contraconceive. That means it has to do something unnatural to counteract what God naturally put there. So that means side effect. Abortion. Side effect, not just physically, but mentally, when that girl is old enough to understand exactly what happened and what decision she made without really understanding or weighing out what decision she could make. And what about the fathers of these abort babies? When they get old enough to understand what they did, trying to get out of it fixed. And what happens when she's old enough to say, I really want children now, and that abortion reproductive system, which her parent wasn't allowed to know about and guide her through. We have to make sure our children forget what the outside world says. We have to make sure what it looks like. No matter how the weeds are growing around outside in our proverbial yard, that this grass is still the greenest grass you'll ever be able to roll around in. The one here, your home, your parents, the ones who love you. Yes, we're going to yell because guess what? You do a lot of things that make us want to pull our hair out often. There's been plenty of days where we didn't like you very much, but we love the hell out of you. And guess what? When you have your biggest problems, we already anticipated how we would be there for you the day that you were just a bean on a sonogram. We already decided to go through and have you and raise you. We were in it for the long haul when we were already ready to wipe up cause a problem that could have put you in danger. We already signed up for that. We already practiced what we were going to say to that team that made you cry because they said something that they wouldn't dare say to your parent. So guess what? We already know what we're going to say to that person and what we're going to do to them to make sure that they make it right for you. So you damn right, we finished being mad as hell. We're going to sit down and talk to you about it and say, now let's see what we're going to do to make sure you're okay in this mess. You can't go out be an arsonist, proverbially speaking. Expect that people aren't going to get mad that you're burning down your life. You can't do something that we spent all our years teaching you was not the thing to do because it's not good for you, and then you went and did it with knowing that you should until it got bigger than it should have been. And now you want us to just say, no problem, honey, we got your back. Without the screaming, without the, what did you do? What, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? What? You have to allow your parents to do that. You parents have to understand that that is something they need to understand, that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how bad they're saying, how much of a failure they think that they are, that they must bring that to you. After God, then you. Even if they went to another adult first, that adult should always make sure that they direct them back to you. Once that other adult finds out that there's no ACS situations to worry about, once that other adult realizes that this child is not in any danger in revealing this situation, they need to tell that child, you got to understand, your parents are going to be upset. They may blow a gasket, but let them blow a gasket, because when they cool off, they're going to have your back. It's not going to be as bad as you think. Do understand that you did a stupid thing. So there's a consequence to that. Because that is the problem. Our children are being told that they're free reign to do any damn thing they want without their parents having to be involved. And they're not told the other side that, hey, whatever you do has a consequence or a reward. Whatever your actions are, will be consequences. That is the issue. And that's what a parent is supposed to do. And that's what a adult teaching figure in this child's life is supposed to do. That's what the village, whatever our flaws are in our community, whatever our issues are, we're supposed to be the barrier around the outside, shield from the outsiders, that protects the outsiders, the kids from the outsiders, and guides our children on the inside to one day they take their rightful place to where they are and do the same. No child should ever feel that the only solution is to end their precious life because somebody else's bad actions or horrible. When if they really could understand, if they lived, they would really be able to look back and say that person really hated themselves, but they didn't want nobody to see that. So they picked on me because I wasn't fighting back. Our children are not making it to that. Our children are not making it past the crazy days of high school. Our children are not able to look back at their yearbook and laugh at the stupid hairstyles they had. Or remember how crazy they felt when they were hiding in a bathroom because instead they had stupid knees or something like that. Older siblings need to stand up for them as well. And older siblings need to have you to say, hey, I'm proud of you. I need your help. You too need to come to me if there's an issue. Everybody in here is in it for each other. We could say all we want. We could say all we want that, oh, honey, you're beautiful just the way you are. But we know out there in the real world, the kids are not listening. They're going to think, oh, you're only saying that because you're my mother. So we have to really realistically figure out how to give them a solution to with the issue at hand realistically. The same way you guys once heard me say, have the birds and the bees like Kitty, the way they'll get it out there. That's what we'll have to do. We have to get with the times that they're facing. And we need to hold everyone in their lives accountable, hold the administration and school accountable for not doing their job. We need to tell them that boo, your fears mean nothing to me because you took this job to do what you have to do and can't, because this person is. Don't get to tell me that you have to give making it too hard to do the only obvious is to remove the problem and have that problem be resolved or dealt with on a level that can handle that person's behavior is above the capacity of your abilities or what you're about to do. Then that person to go to a place or go to a center or go to a person, its level. We cannot let slip through the cracks of our voids, of voids in our reactions, the voids in our gestures, the voids in our responsibilities. Children are killing themselves at 9 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Because they're coming out dealing with things that no 11-year-old should even be focusing on at this point in their life. Talking about they're gay, so that's something that they're being bullied about. Or if a child is but wants to deal with telling what happened to them as a boy, oh, you're gay anyway. when toys and methods of pranks that nowadays some kids are choosing to partake in is not a normal level of children's play. Child pranks, no one is addressing it, or no one wants to call them what it is. Listen, if it smells like a sociopath, and it walks like a sociopath, and it hurts like a sociopath, I don't care what age they are, it's a sociopath. You can say, oh, it's a child with sociopathic behaviors if you choose to. Their behavior is being sociopathic. And they need to be treated as such. And a parent, as hard as it is, if you've got that apple, you better call it that apple and deal with it. Loving your child by denying the issue is not love. Getting your child help for that issue, that's love. In spite of your personal desires. As cute as a baby is when you have them, and as cute as they were when they were walking, not guarantee that their behavior is not going to be anything but cute when they get old enough to understanding how to think and do for themselves. One child under the age of 13 kills themselves every 5 days. Someone under the age of 13 takes their life because they feel that's not a realistic world for any child. That's not a safe world for any child. You're doing your children no favors by are displaying and distributing to other people, inflicting this type of harm to other people. Something, if it's not you, if it's not your household, if it's not something that you're not doing for them, and this is what's happening, you as a parent are obligated to find out what the hell the problem is. You first owe your child, and you definitely owe the people that they are inflicting their rage upon, the right to feel safe in a world they share space with your child with. You are not loving your child into letting them deal with this unaddressed. By calling it childish behavior, this is not childish behavior. This little boy was 11 years old, came home with a backpack every day, sat in the school, dumpy, got called obese, got called chubby, got called whatever name they decided to call him. Repeatedly, every single day. And was threatened, probably, because that's what bullies do. We're threatened, if you tell anybody, it'll get worse for you. If you tell anybody, I'll hurt your parents. Months of bullying. Months, it says. Months of bullying. Months of bullying. How does something like for months and no one seen it? Let's not even talk about his parents. How did this go on for months at school? He wasn't being bullied at home. How did this go on for months in a school full of people, children and staff members alike? How are these people not seeing this? How is this not getting addressed? Who is it that this boy felt he could not go to see? Out of everyone in there was not one person he felt he could go to and something get done? Parents, know what your school chancellor's regulations, your parent regulations are. Know what the procedures of your school system is for your obligation to know what your rights and your children's rights are in a school. As the PTA president of my children's former school for 2 straight years in a row and the treasurer for an additional 2 years, I'm going to tell you that knowing what the bylaws and discipline regulations are in these matters is your obligation to know. Because believe me when I tell you, administratively, the higher ups will try to railroad you into believing you don't have any options the way you think you do, when it's really them that know they have those options and they don't want to pursue them because it's uncomfortable to them. It's uncomfortable for them to go a route, or it's too much work, too much paperwork, too much calling, too much activity for them. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this little boy was in last September. There were problems the boy was going through. He told his parents, but he didn't tell them how deep it was. And they tried to encourage him. So you see, those of you out there trying to say, well, where were the parents? The parents were trying to encourage him to make him feel that it's going to be okay. But he couldn't tell them that. Now, here we go. Disorders, or priority, ADHD. How do you think that those things came about? In addition, his little brother, at least 7 at the time, was being called all insults. And not because the little boy was, but because he liked to dance and spin when he was dancing. Once again, society told them that there was a certain way they're supposed to be boys, to be real men. That everybody is kind of hard enough job on the inside. We have a hard enough job trying to teach our children how to be positive in a world that clearly wants to spew nothing. We parents have a hard enough job trying to balance out give them room to grow and understand and handle things on their own, but still be there for them and be their defenders. We have a hard enough job trying to make sure their homework's done, their food is on the table, they look good, they're okay. We have a hard enough job wearing the many hats we have to wear in our own household and still be a cooperative parent for you. Your job is to do your job. Your job is to keep my kids safe. Your job is to make sure you maintain balance and wear your many hats in your as whole as they went in. I sent my child to you a happy, balanced kid. You sent home a bullied broken child. I sent them to you confident. They came back afraid and feeling worthless. Who went wrong in that scenario? And it takes time for that type of exterior and wall to be broken down. This was going on under your priorities are. Help kill this idea of this stupid super macho nonsense on our boys, that they're not allowed running to you for every little thing and not try to handle it. I'm saying that while they're about how to handle it, they are entitled to have some emotion and some feelings and reactions to what is going on around them. Stop telling our kids that if they have their hand over an open flame, that it doesn't burn because they're a guy and they can handle it. Stop telling them that because it was a female that touched him in an inappropriate manner, that they should feel good and hope and hooked up. Or this, our kids are not getting up and becoming friends after these fights anymore like we once did. Today's fights don't end. We're getting a little bit of some streaming issues here, ladies and gentlemen, and it's kind of Edison and many things that's happening. Now, still need guy hanging out with me today, and we're going to add this on tomorrow. Continue this out until tomorrow night at our regular time, 9 p.m. Be blessed, be a blessing. Make a difference, and I really look forward to hearing from all of you guys, not just on the boards. Come here and sound out and talk so people can hear us. People can hear us. So, parents, we're the first ones got to make sure that our kids walk out with super enforced understanding that no matter what they face that day, no matter how hard it is, no matter how ashamed they are, no matter what reaction they think that we're going to have, when they tell us, they need to tell us anyway. That needs to be something we drill in them. That needs to be something we say every day. We need to ask every day, what's going on? You okay? You sure? Don't tell me there's nothing wrong if something's wrong. Stop telling our kids that they're snitches if they say something. Stop letting other people put the idea of the snitch in their head. There's no such thing when your life is in danger or someone else's safety isn't here. That's another stupid rule that needs to go out the window. Honor is, and this snitch nonsense is created by the people who don't want what they're doing in closed doors in a wrong manner to be exposed. That's the only people that will call somebody a snitch. Somebody who is doing something they shouldn't have been doing and they don't want anybody who saw them doing it to tell. And that's another lesson that has to be put in our kids' head, that there is no such thing as anything being good that is being told to not be said. Anytime somebody asks you to keep something in the dark, being said, exposed or told to anyone, with the exception of it being a surprise party or something like that. But if they're telling me, we'll be accountable for the choices they make if they went along with it anyway. So once again, fellas and ladies and gentlemen, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. I am so honored that all of you, boy, my numbers. All right, guys, thanks. I have my panel here. Nobody's, like, calling in. So, you know, nobody's pressing one to talk. And you guys know I hate talking to myself. But for you. Because as it stands at this point and at this time, our kids are in desperate need of us to get back on our rightful places and hand the torch off properly. Pass the torch properly because they have no guidance, no protection. Everyone that's supposed to be helping us help them parents, they're gone. There are probably so many people now trying to utilize our children at a young age sexually that they're trying to make that line that needs to be crossed. They've covered it out. Hollywood is getting worse. They're throwing out the lure even more and rolling them in. And they want this. But you want this. You want this. Till tonight, everybody. Be blessed. Be sent. And thank you all for joining me on The Edge Show tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow.
On The Edge, we'll talk about real issues.